You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why do you think less students are choosing to study at university?
Well, because being a student isn't sexy anymore.
The Wire.
This week, the Dental for All campaign set out on a national roadshow to build public support over communities across the country. The campaign team stands for universal, free, and tertiary-consistent dental health care that is delivered through our public health care system. Under the current system, individuals above the age of 18 have to access dental health care privately, or those in need can apply for a WINS grant of $1,000, which is strictly means-tested. This often means that those who do not qualify for the grant simply do not access dental health care. According to public polling carried out in 2022, 74% of the public supports the idea of universal dental health care. The campaign is trying to make the case to communities across the country so that they can get the buy-in necessary from political leaders going into the 2026 election next year. I wanted to get more insight into what the campaign team sees as its road to victory on this issue and whether this is a feasible proposal. So I talked to Dental for All campaigner Hannah Pilkington Ching about her work. I was wondering if you could just give me a quick overview of the Dental for All campaign and the roadshow that you guys are currently embarking on.
Kia ora, thanks for having me on. So the Dental for All campaign is calling for adult dental care to be brought into our public health system and made free for everyone. And we're also calling for our oral health system to uphold Te Tira Te O Waitangi. And so we're just heading off on a roadshow this week to go all over the country holding community events about the Dental for All kaupapa to build awareness and build a strong movement that can help make Dental for All a political reality.
So currently in the public health care system, some dental health care is covered, correct, for certain groups?
Yeah, so we currently have free dental care for under 18s as part of the public health system, but as soon as you hit 18, you move out of home, maybe you go study and there's just basically no support in the public system, we do have a WINS grant, which is very strictly means tested, and that can give you $1,000 for urgent dental care, but that really captures just a really small portion of the population that actually need that support to access dental care. We actually have nearly half of adults in Aotearoa report unmet dental need due to cost in the past year, and we also know that those rates are higher for young people, Māori, Pacifica, and people with disabilities. We basically just have emergency dental care in the hospital, so if something's so bad that you end up coming through ED, we have that very specific WINS grant, which is quite difficult to access for a lot of people, and basically nothing else. It doesn't really make sense when we know that oral health is part of the rest of our health, and it doesn't really make sense to carve out the teeth from the rest of our body in our public system.
Dental for All promise seems to be far more expensive than just improving the current means-tested system. Could you speak to a little bit about why maybe a universal system is better and how we could potentially afford that?
Yeah, absolutely. Part of what we're talking about with this campaign is the flaws of a means-tested system, because what this WINS grant is supposed to do, or at least what it says it does, is provide, financial support to people that need it to access urgent dental care. But the reality is that so many people who desperately need that support can't access it because it's a really intense and degrading process to have to go to WINS, to have then look through your bank statements and have to prove your neediness. A lot of people, report having a very small amount of savings in their account, which they actually, they need that safety net, but that meaning that they're not eligible for the WINS grant. And we also know that in general, means-tested systems are actually more resource-intensive to maintain because there's a lot of public service work that needs to go into, figuring out who supposedly needs that service or not. Another point I'd make around the value of a universal system is that we have other universal services like most of the rest of our health system, primary and secondary education. We also have superannuation. So we have some examples of free public services, which we all kind of agree are just, providing basic rights, which we should all be able to access basic education, basic healthcare for free. And it doesn't, you know, no one questions, oh, why should people be getting the superannuation who don't need it? Why should, you know, because there's actually buy-in from all of us when we all benefit from a system. It's more likely to last politically because everyone benefits from it, and it's harder to, I guess, carve away sections of it over time and start to blame the people that benefit from that system when it's something that we all have access to. So, those are some of the reasons why we think it's really important to move to a universal model for dental care in alignment with other parts of our health system.
So are there examples, maybe overseas, of universal dental healthcare systems?
We are currently working on a report which looks at this, looks at examples of, countries overseas that have more access to dental care. Some of the countries we're looking at have, more of a public system. We also know that we know that would work. We know it would work here in Aotearoa, and we're, trying to develop the ambition here to, develop a system which is grounded in Te Tiriti and is based on the evidence about oral health being an important part of the rest of our healthcare. But, some of the examples we're looking at overseas include places where there's, more like in some areas local government service provision. There's also some insurance-based models such as in Japan where there's, much better access to dental care. There's also the NHS. So, we're looking at some of those examples to, inform our policy options here. But, we also believe that, we already know that oral health is important to the rest of our health, and there are some really legitimate ways that that could be better integrated into our public health system. And I guess we shouldn't hold back our ambition for that, because of needing to see those examples from overseas either.
Could you maybe elaborate on what a Te Tiriti-informed system like this would look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So like with other areas of our public services, the Crown has an obligation to uphold Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And one thing that means is, enabling and allowing and supporting Māori to have tino oranga tiritanga over Māori health. And so within the dental system, some ideas about how that could look is the government resourcing Māori to have authority over the future of Māori oral healthcare and what that model looks like, resourcing iwi, hapu and marae-based services or Māori oral health providers, and also extending whānau order delivery model to include dental in that. So we believe that those things are really important to happen alongside dental care being free for everyone as part of the public system.
Can you maybe walk me through what the roadmap for the campaign is, what you envision your pathway to victory on this issue being, and what some of the roadblocks might be on the way?
Yeah, so we've done some research. So I guess research is sort of one area of work that we do. Last year we released a report which looks at the economics of the current system and what it's costing us currently for adults to not be able to access dental care in terms of the impact on the rest of our society. And we've also done some more research on, which focus on people's lived experience with the dental system, and research which kind of shares people's stories of the barriers that they face and the impacts that that has on their lives. And then as mentioned, we have this report coming up looking at what we can learn from oral health systems overseas. Also some work exploring what tino oranga tiritanga of oral health care means. So those are some of the things in the works in the research space. We also think it's really important that there's a really strong public mandate for dental for all. I mean, we know that 7 in 10 New Zealand adults actually support bringing adult dental care into the public system. So there is that baseline support also across the political spectrum in the public. But obviously this is a shift to what the system currently is, and so we need to, demonstrate that support to our political leaders and build a sense of urgency and power in that movement so that it is, a really easy decision for our political leaders to make, to pick up this policy and run with it. So, particularly with this roadshow next year and some of our work over the next year, we're leading up to next year's general election, and our hope is that free, universal and Te Tiriti o Waitangi consistent dental care will be a key issue at that election, and that will have multiple political parties coming through with bold proposals about what that could look like, that we can hold them accountable to, hopefully in the next government. So that's a little bit of our political direction. And I guess part of why we're going on this roadshow now is to build up that engagement and local organising groups around the country to enable that to happen throughout the next year.
That was Dental for All campaigner Hannah Pilkington-Cheng on a recent roadshow and the feasibility of Dental for All.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.